This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Well, bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council on Joy 94.9. Joy.
Good evening and welcome. This is Well here on Joy 94.9, presented to you every week by the Victorian AIDS Council. On this show, we talk about health and well-being in our gender, sex and sexually diverse community. My name is Tex, and this week I'm joined by a cavalcade of co-hosts, Adam, Jesse, and Alex.
I thought you were going to say plethora then, just to sort of chuck that in at the end of the year.
Why not?
But we hope you've had a pretty good Christmas. Tonight's show has actually been pre-recorded before we commenced our Christmas New Year's break, because everybody needs a break over this time, and so do we. So we hope you've had a great Christmas, and hopefully we would have had one too.
Thank you, Adam. So, Tex, what's on the show tonight?
Well, tonight's show is looking back over 2016 and the shows that we've presented. Each one of us is going to be chatting about a topic or a show that made an impact on us and the work that we undertake here in Melbourne.
On next week's show, a team of different presenters from VAC will be looking forward at topics we will be looking into in 2017.
So I guess it's kind of like a sort of looking back is tonight, and then next week is looking forward. So different guests, everybody that's kind of been on, or we've had quite a rotation of new people come in.
We have indeed.
Which has been fantastic.
And Adam, on our show, when we're looking back over 2016, you're the first one to lead us in. What's your favourite topic you're talking about tonight?
Well, I think not necessarily my favourite topic, but probably one of the most important things that I thought occurred over 2016 was the introduction of the PrEP-X trial.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I think we've been advocating as an organisation for PrEP to be listed on the PBS, to be approved by the TGA, trying to associate a biomedical prevention aspect to a wealth of, I guess, already existing strategies in terms of reductions for HIV. And I think when PrEP-X was announced, obviously it's a clinical trial, but it's 2,600 spaces and it's been run through the Alfred that people now have access to PrEP.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting stuff, isn't it? But even before that, we know that people were trying to access PrEP and that it was a big conversation in the community. So there's a lot of progress being made.
Absolutely. I think that there's several different ways to get PrEP, but the PrEP-X trial in itself was probably the most convenient for people in metropolitan Melbourne, and it is going to be sort of out in rural and regional areas soon.
So exactly when is it rolling out again?
So it actually started in July.
Yeah.
So they've done enrolment for metropolitan Melbourne. They've got a certain amount of places for, I guess, your primary cohort, which is men who have sex with men, so whether they identify as gay, bi or trans, and then also for specific minority groups such as injecting drug users, people in serodiscordant relationships and whatnot, but, and also rural and regional areas. But the proportions, I'm not 100% sure, but they're trying to get as many people who are at risk as possible.
Now, Adam, is this a good time for me to say perhaps we have a listener listening at the moment who has no idea what we're talking about, what PrEP is?
Oh, how could they not know? Outrageous.
I know we have covered the topic of PrEP quite a few times over the course of this year.
Yep.
And not just our show, but lots of different shows on Joy.
Sure.
But perhaps you could just give a brief explanation as to what the word, we're saying it as a word, PrEP. What does PrEP mean?
So PrEP is an acronym, and we know how we are very, very fond of our acronyms in the community. Mm. So PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. It's actually a medical concept where people who are HIV negative can take antiretrovirals, which is the pills that HIV positive people take, to actually sort of, in a nutshell, sort of create a protective biomedical wall within their body. So when HIV actually enters the body, it can't enter the cell, get a hold of the cell, and then replicate throughout the body. So it has that sort of biomedical hey, I'm the wall, you can't get past me.
Yeah.
So basically it's a concept, but it's a medication regime. So you've actually got to take medication every single day.
And I think one of the biggest pluses of this was that people could take HIV prevention into their own hands as well and have control over it. And I think that's been really beneficial, hasn't it?
Well, I think it's something that's new.
Yeah.
And we know it's effective. We know that there's been clinical trials. It's available in many other countries around the world. So we're kind of thinking, why is it not here? Why have we not got access to it, or why have we not got access to it in the same way that other people do? But in terms of actually taking it into your own hands, there's a range of different things that people will actually do or engage in. Using condoms, for example, just because you're on PrEP doesn't mean that you should stop using condoms.
Mm.
If you decide that you don't want to use condoms in terms of HIV prevention, then PrEP's an alternative in terms of an option for prevention.
Absolutely.
And we've seen the concept of treatment as prevention as being one of the major strategies that continues to this day. Now, this is the next evolution. And as you've said, it's the first biomedical intervention in terms of a prevention strategy, in a way, for people who are negative. What are the comments in the community, Adam, that you're hearing about PrEP becoming more and more available to people?
Well, I think there's kind of I guess this is just kind of anecdotally, because we really haven't done any formal research, or VSE hasn't done any formal research around it. But there's two kind of monologues. One that's sort of saying, this is really great, this is really empowering, people are taking control of their own health, their own sexual health, and that of their partners as well. Also, I think I just will have to point out that if you're on PrEP, you've got to go back every three, or if you're on the PrEPX trial, for example, you've got to go back every 3 months to get tested. Now, these are men who might not necessarily have been testing as frequently throughout the year. So that in itself is a really sort of good way to maintain your own sexual health and sort of maintain that of your partners. But the other side, in terms of what people are saying in the community, is that, well, everyone who takes PrEP just wants to have condomless sex and they're riddled with STIs.
And it makes them more promiscuous and whatnot.
Absolutely. It's just an easy way for gay men to say that, well, stuff it, we're not going to use condoms anymore, and who cares?
I often like to point out when I do hear that comment, in a very, very polite way, of course, that they said the same thing when the oral contraceptive pill came out for females. And that, you know, people are going to be much more promiscuous and STIs go up. They're not really looking at the issue here of what's actually working. And that's a very, like, blinkers kind of way to look at the issue. And it's also worth pointing out that VAC makes it really clear that it is not a completely alternative option. It is to be added to your regimen and be well educated on top of all the other options you've got against HIV prevention, isn't it?
Exactly. And I think as well that you can, and I guess what your perception of promiscuous and what everybody else's perception of promiscuous is completely and utterly subjective.
Mm-hmm.
So for people to slut shame, is the way I like to call it. It's sort of like as soon as people find out you're on PrEP, oh, right, that's what you like to do. That's what you get to. No, actually, that's not what I want to do, or that's not how I want to do it. I just want to be in control, because there's always slip-ups potentially with condoms and everything like that. But the other thing as well is that San Francisco has seen the biggest drop in HIV notifications since PrEP has been introduced over, I think it's maybe over 5 years more, that every single year it's gone down and PrEP increase has gone up.
That's absolutely amazing news.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. So I guess I just wanted to mention that the PrEPX trial has gone on. There's also, it's kind of full at the minute, but there's a waiting list. So if you're still interested, you can actually get onto the Alfred website. Just type in the PrEPX trial. It'll come straight up. You can register your interest and find out more ways to get either onto PrEP or about PrEP.
And that's quite simply PrEPX.
That is correct. Joy 94.9. This is Well on Joy 94.9, and I am Adam, and I've been chatting about the PrEPX trial, and we're going to completely change tracks now and go to one of my co-host Tex to actually find out about what was probably either a significant show that we covered throughout the year or a very significant topic that you found personal to you.
Oh, look, indeed. And
Tessie Marie?
In this instance, Adam, it is looking at the gay nightclub shooting that happened in Orlando, Florida in June this year. in essence, look, our community was rocked by the news of yet another mass shooting. And when I say our community here, I'm not talking about necessarily the LGBTI community. I think it was just across the board.
Yeah.
Everyone was really shocked that there was yet another. And people, some people, I know people were saying out there, it's just another shooting in gun crazy USA. But in this instance, it was one that hit really home, not just to us, but to LGBTIQ people around the world, because it happened in a gay nightclub and it happened in Orlando, Florida. It happened in the early hours of the morning and it was on Sunday, the 12th of June. And so, of course, it was in the middle of the Northern Hemisphere summer. Now, in today's 24/7 news cycle, essentially, as soon as it happened, there were messages on Facebook, there were messages on online media sources, and the death toll, unfortunately, just continued to mount. In total, 49 people were killed, another 53 were wounded to the extent that they needed to go to hospital. Of course, there were other people who were mentally scarred, who perhaps didn't immediately get assistance, who may not have got assistance so far.
Oh, it's massive, isn't it?
It is. It is indeed. And look, the next day, when the drama was actually still unfolding in Orlando, there were people who were starting to bring along bouquets of flowers, as people do when there's an accident on the road or there's been some event that's happened somewhere. People come along and start putting down bouquets. And this happened here in Melbourne as well, where people, actually all around Australia, people were taking flowers to the embassies and the consulates of the USA.
And I mean, because I know that there was probably sort of like an outpouring of people saying things all around the world, especially about this because of the significant numbers of people that were affected by it. But there was something that actually happened in Melbourne as well in terms of, I guess, our showing of support.
Indeed. Our showing of support was putting together a vigil. In fact, there were two. We think of the big one that happened in Federation Square, and I'll talk about that briefly. But on the day after, or it might even have been the same day here in Melbourne, there was a spontaneous memorial which was held in Fitzroy, where the Rainbow Footpath is, and people just gathered with candles and flowers and just wanted to be together in solidarity to remember the people who had been killed, as the gay community, if you like, meeting on what we know in Fitzroy, on the corner of Gertrude and what's the street I'm saying? Adam Smith Street, and also on the corner of Peel and Smith Street, there are now rainbows, permanent rainbows on the footpath to signify the area is one where a lot of LGBT people gather. So there was on that night the first gathering of people, but then our Equity Commissioner, Rowena Allen, got together with a whole lot of different community groups and people, and she put together a memorial which was held on the Thursday. And this was the biggie, and this is the one where there were, Federation Square was filled with people.
Yeah.
And one of the highlights of that was a community choir leading all of the people in the square in the singing of Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which sounds really corny, but on that night it made such an incredible effect that as soon as it finished, they sang it all again. It was just wonderful.
That's great.
It was just a wonderful memorial.
Really emotional.
Yeah, it was.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
We just had a little discussion around the Orlando shooting, and we bring now to talk about the apology. Alex, over to you.
Thank you very much. I guess it's interesting that Tex was talking about was it an emotional time? Absolutely. And to some extent, this was quite an emotional
experience.
Many. Yep. And just to refresh people's memories, it was in May of this year that the Daniel Andrews government, Daniel Andrews himself, led a formal apology to the LGBTI community. And this was apparently, I've been told, the first time this has been done on the planet, so that's quite a monumental thing.
That is massive.
Now, he made reference to the, in inverted commas, the homosexual conduct laws that had been in place many years ago, but that had impacted thousands of men and some women. He made reference to people being charged, convicted, and even imprisoned for crimes ranging from the abominable crime of buggery, gross indecency, loitering, for homosexual purposes and offensive behaviour. So there's a lot of talk about the sorts of laws that were in place that actively discriminated against homosexual men and women. He spoke to the human toll of these laws, again, of the convictions of many homosexual men, and the impact that that actually had on the community in terms of employment, travel, volunteering for decades to come. More fundamentally, he then spoke about these convictions as a source of ongoing grief and deep personal shame for the individuals affected. And again, the use of the term shame was, for me, an incredibly powerful part of his declaration. Daniel Andrews really took the opportunity to make a very formal apology to the victims of these very unjust laws and put this dark chapter of Victoria's history to rest. The state acknowledgement really took some responsibility for the harm caused to the community. So, team, from your point of view, how do you feel the apology did impact the community?
I mean, I personally wouldn't be able to, I guess, speak on the topic, not really being that overly familiar with what the experience was like growing up when these laws were in effect. But I assume that for the people who had experienced them, this would be absolutely monumental.
Mm-mm.
Absolutely monumental. And you said that the Andrews government made a formal one, and you're going to go, it's not tokenistic.
No.
They're sincere. Or sincerity behind it. And I think that in itself really has meaning and it carries a lot of weight. So that's how I sort of perceive the overall sort of formal apology.
And look, I was lucky enough to be there in Parliament when the apology was made. I wasn't actually in Parliament itself because that was reserved for VIPs. I was in Queen's Hall, perhaps appropriately, which was full of people. Who also didn't fit into Parliament, into the few seats in the public gallery. And it was just amazing. As soon as he made the apology, there was a brief silence, and then Parliament and Queen's Hall just erupted into applause and cheers. There were people in tears, in fact, because there were quite a few men who actually got into Parliament itself, into the public gallery, who were men who had been directly affected by these laws, who had spent time in prison and who had had their job prospects, things hadn't worked out with them in life because they had been charged with one of these laws. So it was really a dramatic, really
very,
dramatic
very powerful thing. And I think the thing that drove it home for me was that fact that this is in living memory for many people. This isn't ancient history, as was pointed out.
Yeah.
It's not 100 years ago. This is living memory for many people today, and that was incredibly powerful.
I can't believe this is the first kind of its apology in the world. So looks like we're kicking goals, Victoria.
Absolutely.
Not too bad. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we've been looking at 2016, a bit of a retrospective. Now, Jesse, we're going to now talk a little bit about Equinox.
We sure are. So Equinox is the trans and gender diverse health service that we've got. So that's running out of the Pronto site in Fitzroy. But just to give you a little introduction, trans communities have been an overlooked population when it comes to sexual health, HIV prevention strategies and health services. So in response to that, Equinox was formed. And we wanted to create a health service that was a safe and inclusive space, specifically for trans and gender diverse individuals. And this was really met positively by the community. It officially opened in February this year, at the end of February. And the team at Equinox was working really closely with the trans advisory group. And they highlighted a couple of things with regards to inclusiveness and services available and like the knowledge level of GPs and counsellors kind of aiding them. And one of the things they did highlight was that mental health was an issue in the community, especially in trans and gender diverse individuals. So in response to that, they brought on a counselling service that worked next to the two GPs there, which is good progress. And It's just been a really big achievement I think we should be proud of. It even won a Globe Award in 2016 this year.
Hand claps. Yay.
For a healthy community, which was the name of the award.
And so I guess you're sort of saying that the trans community have been, I guess, underserviced in relation to the provision of services. But there's Absolutely. Also probably potential barriers that you were sort of alluding to in terms of accessing traditional health services. Either it's the knowledge of the GPs or the lack of knowledge or the lack of ability to, I guess, provide adequate and sufficient and proficient care.
Yeah.
So how many clients are actually accessing Equinox? Do you know?
So, yeah, we actually have a 235 clients registered at Equinox, which is a great number.
That's an incredible number.
Especially considering only opened in February this year. But I think it really has been met with a lot of positivity from the community and also steered by the trans advisory group, obviously, which is exciting. Other work done in the trans space, which I think was worth mentioning, is the grant campaign. Now, that was kind of formed also in response to the lack of sexual health and HIV prevention campaigns out there. And I think this was one of the first ones that targeted specifically trans men who have sex with men. And it was very sex positive kind of imagery and all that kind of stuff. And it was really met with international recognition and praise. So that's another thing that we ought to be proud of.
And I think because it was very community-based, community initiative or a community initiative that was community based using community members, and therefore it had a lot of social capital.
Absolutely.
But I've seen the campaign. I think it's absolutely fantastic. We implemented it at VAC. It was just great. But do you think that the needs of trans men who have sex with men are different to gay men who have sex with men, or do you think they're just not being addressed in traditional campaigns that we currently are running?
I think it's a bit of both. So obviously the needs are going to be very different. But another thing to point out is the fact that sometimes we can also be a bit ignorant in saying trans community as a whole. Now, within the trans community, the trans and gender diverse community, there are already so many different, you know, subgroups, and I think it's worth being aware of that. But awareness is one that we could definitely work on. So we can't just, you know, it's like pigeonholing the whole of the GLBTI community together, that it's not going to work for sexual health or health services that need to be quite specific.
Mm. I mean, obviously a lot of these services are set up because there are some understanding on parts of the service providers, the GPs, to have an understanding of the specific needs of that community.
Mm.
But there's also the other branch of this, which is around stigma and discrimination of people within our community, and ensuring that the services they get are free of that. So that's a very important part of Equinox and what we're doing in this space.
Absolutely, yeah. And just things like sensitivity training or, you know, awareness of how you address an individual, things like that, that you might not necessarily get in mainstream healthcare services.
Mm.
So we've had really good feedback.
Now, Jesse, you mentioned at the top of talking about this new service that it runs out of Pronto.
It does.
Now, perhaps we could share with our listener where Pronto is located, but perhaps what Pronto means.
Well, Pronto, it is located on 175 Rose Street in Fitzroy, which obviously shares the space with Equinox. But one of the amazing things about Pronto is that it's rapid HIV testing and it's led by peers, which means it's, you know, everyday guys that you could say you could relate to, as opposed to the hierarchical nature you could get between, let's say, a doctor and their patient. And that started about, what was it, like 2 years ago?
Probably about three.
Three now.
Three, yeah. It's been going around. It's been established for a while. And I think there's also the element of the outreach that they do. So whilst that peer-to-peer sort of basis sort of reduces the possibility of that power dynamic between a GP and a client, the outreach element also takes it out of the context of sitting in a medical clinical based service in terms of the Pronto element. So we're at Midsummer, we're doing it at certain social venues, we're doing it in rural and regional areas as well, in terms of taking the testing van out and saying, hey, we're here, want to get tested, this is what it's all about.
Yeah.
And it's just another opportunity to engage.
And the incredible thing about when we have the testing van out and about, we never have problems with getting guys to come along and be tested. It always books out very quickly.
And I think it's really great having that visual element to say, hey, guys, it's just rapid HIV testing, you know, reduces any stigma associated, gets it out there, normalizes it, which is really great for the community.
And the great thing about Pronto is that so many clients have returned again and again and again to have their rapid testing every 3 months so that they know that they're okay, which
Absolutely.
Is great.
So if you guys ever want to go check it out, Equinox is spelled E-Q-U-I-N-O-X. And also noticing Pronto, P-R-O-N-T-O.
Joy 94.9.
This is Well on Joy 94.9. And we have been having a reflective look back over 2016 and sharing with you, our listeners, the particular topics or the particular shows or things that have happened over the course of the year that we have either been personally touched by or sort of really impressed by. And I think one of the other things that we probably should touch on as well is that we actually have a revisioning program, and I'm actually going to give Tex a little bit of leeway to speak on the revisioning program because I know he's had many conversations with Anthony, who was on last week, about the show.
Indeed. We know that revisioning is all about stemming violence and men working together to reduce their violence. We know that violence happens across all of communities, all social classes, you know, it's not any specific age, all different sorts of ages and cultural backgrounds and indeed geographical areas. Society tends to be much less aware of violence when it happens within a same-sex domestic arrangement rather than heterosexual relationships. We hear about, especially about women who have to leave heterosexual relationships because of violence. We hear very little about same-sex partners, male or female for that matter, who are also suffering domestic violence. It can make it a harder call for men to stand up and say, hey, I've been abused within my relationship, and to have their relationship and the fact that they've been abused taken seriously, and for them to receive help, because if they're not going out there and asking for help, sometimes it's difficult for men to get help. Men's behaviour change programs actually have existed within the general community for some time, and they've been established within the counselling services of the Victorian AIDS Council for a number of years now. Revisioning is part of one of the programs that we put out. It's a unique group. It's offered exclusively to gay and bisexual men who are finding it hard to manage their anger, their frustration, their violence, indeed, impacting on their relationships and their partners. And beyond their partners, it can also be their family, their friends, indeed, into their work colleagues.
I think you bring a really interesting point in that there are a lot of services out there for people who are experiencing domestic violence or partner violence, and mm-hmm. it comes in so many different forms, from financial right through to sexual and physical, which is the extreme version, not to say that one is worse than the other. But I think that it's really important that there are programs out there aimed specifically at people who are perpetrating violence in various forms, and whether it's for them to become aware of exactly what it is that they're doing and the impact that they're having, and being able to sit in a room with other people who are either exhibiting the same forms of behavior to their partners, families and friends. Mm-hmm. And I think to actually have the ability to acknowledge what it is that you're doing, and also basically to have the guts to sit in a room and say, yep, this is what I do and I need help.
Yeah, and that's like a pretty confronting thing to do regardless. So with these groups, they aim to address the issues of violence and dysfunctional patterns of behavior, but it also encourages, you know, communication within between each other and strategies to deal with conflict in a safe space where, you know, gay and bisexual men can come together and talk about it. But Tex, do you want to go into what the revisioning group really aims to provide?
I will. I just want to say very quickly something which Anthony pointed out last week, that the Christmas period and into the New Year period is when that there's generally a spike in the numbers of family intervention orders that are served on men. And it's also, at the same time, The same thing happens. There are breaches of orders that are usually high at this time of the year, meaning the Christmas period or post-Christmas into the New Year period. And that's why we're talking about this group, because there is a new group coming up in February, which people are encouraged who may be concerned about the violence that they perpetrate for their partners, their family, people outside of their immediate family group. The next group for this revisioning project is happening in February 2017, so next year, but only just next year. And if someone is interested, you need to contact our counselling services program after the 3rd of January on 9865 6700. That's 9865 6700. And then you need to speak to someone and they'll determine whether you're eligible for the program.
This is Well 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 on Joy 94.9.
Are you an older lesbian in Victoria? The Matrix Guild is here for you. We organise social and supportive services, advocate for appropriate housing, and offer free visitor service for you at home or in care. We're always training new visitor volunteers, so please get in touch. Our annual fundraising lesbian comedy gala will keep you laughing all year. Visit matrixguildvic.org.au.
Joy 94.9.
This is Well 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 on Joy 94.9. We've been looking at 2016, but coming up in 2017, of course, is the annual Midsummer Festival, which kicks off on Sunday, 15th of January, with the wonderful annual carnival. VAC, of course, will be there, along with Joy and your favourite community organisations. For details, visit midsummer.org.au.
And I'm just going to point out, sorry to interrupt there, but we're going to have some great giveaways at the VAC stall. So find us at Midsummer and you will clean up.
We really are. So just want to mention that over this Christmas holiday period, or even just in general, if you are stressed out or just need a chat, remember help is but a phone call away. QLife, formerly known as the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard, are available from 3 p.m. till midnight, 7 days a week on 1-800-184-527 for 24/7 assistance. Try Lifeline on 131114 or Beyond Blue on 1300 224 636.
All the team at Well 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 wish you and yours a very happy and safe new year. Remember to keep it safe, whether you're thinking sex, alcohol or illicit drugs.
So I can't believe that we've actually come to the end of another show and the end of another year, guys. I think it's been a fantastic show. We've covered quite a variety of different topics. Mm-hmm. And I think the exciting thing as well is that there's going to be so much on the horizon in terms of what's coming up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess I would suggest that you tune in to next week's show to hear the other co-hosts of Well 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 talk about the things that they're looking forward to over the next 12 months.
Yeah.
But I want to wish everyone a merry, merry festival season.
And a happy new year.
And a happy new year. This is Well 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 on Joy 94.9.
Cheers, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre presents Well 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 on Joy, the show that's all about sex, health and well-being.
Joy, joy, joy.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.